Welcome to your A-Level Psychology Podcast. I'm your study tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and frequently examined core studies in the OCR specification, Baron-Cohen, Jolliffe, Mortimore, and Robertson, published in 1997. The study is titled Another Advanced Test of Theory of Mind, and it introduced what became one of the most iconic tasks in cognitive psychology, the reading the mind in the eyes test. Whether you're revising for your AS components or pushing for top marks in your A-level examinations, this episode is going to give you everything you need. So grab your notes, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Section 1, Core Concepts. What is this study actually about? Let's start from the very beginning. Before we even look at the study itself, we need to understand the concept it's investigating, theory of mind. Theory of mind, often abbreviated to TOM, is the ability to attribute mental states to other people. That means understanding that other people have beliefs, desires, intentions, and emotions that are different from your own. It's what allows you to think, she said she's fine, but I can tell she's actually upset. It's the cognitive machinery behind empathy, deception, and social communication. Now, you might have come across the Sallyan test in your earlier reading. That's a classic first-order theory of mind task designed for children. Baron-Cohen had already shown back in 1985 that children with autism failed that test at a much higher rate than neurotypical children or children with Down syndrome. But here's the problem. By 1997, that test was far too easy for adults. High-functioning adults with autism or Asperger syndrome were passing it. So the question became, do adults with high-functioning autism or Asperger syndrome still have a theory of mind deficit, or have they compensated for it by adulthood? That is the core research question of this study. And the answer Baron-Cohen and his colleagues found was, yes, the deficit is still there. It's just more subtle, and you need a more sensitive test to detect it. So they designed the eyes task. Here's how it worked. Participants were shown 25 black and white photographs. Each photograph showed only the eye region of a face. Nothing else, just the eyes and the area immediately surrounding them. For each photograph, participants had to choose one of two mental state terms that best described what the person in the photograph was thinking or feeling. These weren't basic emotions like happy or sad. These were complex, nuanced mental states, things like scheming, reflective, arrogant, panicked. This is what makes the task so clever. It requires genuine mentalizing ability, not just basic emotion recognition. Now let's talk about the participants. This was a quasi-experiment, which is crucial to note for your methodology questions. The independent variable, the diagnosis, was naturally occurring, not manipulated by the researchers. That's what makes it quasi-experimental rather than a true experiment. There were three groups. Group 1 consisted of 16 adults with high-functioning autism or Asperger syndrome. These were individuals with average or above-average IQ, so we cannot explain any differences in performance by general intellectual ability. Group 2 was the control group of 50 neurotypical adults randomly selected from a subject pool. Group 3 consisted of 10 adults with Tourette syndrome. Now, why Tourette syndrome? This is one of the most commonly misunderstood aspects of the study, and examiners specifically look for this explanation. Tourette syndrome involves frontal lobe abnormalities. The frontal lobe is associated with executive function, planning, inhibition, social behavior. If the HFA and AS group performed poorly, a skeptic might argue, well, maybe it's just frontal lobe damage causing the deficit, not a specific theory of mind problem. By including a Tourette syndrome group, who also have frontal lobe abnormalities but do not have autism, Baron-Cohen could test this alternative explanation. If the Tourette group performed normally, it would suggest the deficit in the HFA and AS group is specifically about social cognition and theory of mind, not just general frontal lobe dysfunction. There were also two control tasks. The first was a gender recognition task. Participants simply had to identify whether the eyes in the photograph belonged to a male or female. The second was a basic emotion recognition task using Ekman's faces. Participants identified basic emotions from whole faces. These control tasks were included to rule out the possibility that any poor performance on the eyes task was simply due to basic perceptual difficulties rather than a genuine theory of mind deficit. Now for the results. And you need to memorize these numbers because examiners will expect you to cite them precisely. The HFA and AS group scored a mean of 16.3 out of 25 on the eyes task. The normal adult group scored a mean of 20.3. The Tourette syndrome group scored a mean of 20.4. The difference between group 1 and the other two groups was statistically significant. Crucially, all three groups performed equally well on the control tasks, confirming that the deficit was specific to theory of mind, not basic perception or general intelligence. These findings supported Baron Cohen's hypothesis. Adults with high-functioning autism or Asperger syndrome do retain a theory of mind deficit, even when general intelligence is intact. The deficit is subtle, but it's real, and it can be detected with a sufficiently sensitive test. Section 2. Exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's get into the exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. First, the most common mistake I see candidates make: confusing the 1997 version of the EYES task with the 2001 revised version. In the 1997 study, the one you were examined on, there were 25 photographs and participants chose between two mental state terms. In the 2001 revision, Baron Cohen increased this to 36 photographs and 4 options per photograph, making it even more sensitive. If you write 36 photographs or 4 options in your exam answer about the 1997 study, you will lose marks. It's 25 photographs, 2 options. Write that clearly. Second common mistake: not explaining why the Tourette syndrome group was included. Many candidates simply list the three groups without explaining the purpose of group 3. Examiners are looking for the explanation that Tourette syndrome involves frontal lobe abnormalities, and the group was included to control for the possibility that the HFA and AS group's poor performance was due to frontal lobe dysfunction rather than a specific theory of mind deficit. Third mistake: saying the study measures IQ. It does not. The EYES task measures theory of mind, specifically the ability to attribute complex mental states from minimal social cues. The fact that the HFA and AS group had average or above average IQ is actually a key strength of the study because it means we can rule out general intelligence as an explanation for their lower scores. Fourth mistake: describing the sampling method for group 1 as random. It was not random. Group 1 was a volunteer or self-selected sample. Participants responded to advertisements or were referred. Group 2 was randomly selected from a subject pool. These are different sampling methods and you need to be precise. Now let's talk about evaluation. When you're writing a 15-mark evaluation question, you need to think about validity, reliability, ethics, and the individual differences area assumption. On validity, a key criticism is the ecological validity of the EYES task. In real-world social interaction, we don't just see static photographs of eyes. We see whole faces, body language, hear tone of voice, and observe movement. The static nature of the photographs means the task may not fully reflect the complexity of real social cognition. This is a genuine limitation you should raise. On the other hand, the study has good construct validity because the EYES task correlated with Happe's Strange Stories task, a separate measure of theory of mind. This is called concurrent validity, and it supports the idea that the EYES task is genuinely measuring what it claims to measure. On the individual differences area, this study sits within the individual differences area of the OCR specification because it focuses on what makes a specific group, those with autism, cognitively different from the general population. The assumption of this area is that understanding individual variation in cognition and behavior can help us understand both typical and atypical development. Baron Cohen's study directly addresses this by identifying a specific cognitive mechanism, theory of mind, that differs between autistic and neurotypical individuals. Section 3, quick-fire recall quiz. Let's test your knowledge. I'll ask the question, give you a moment to think, then give you the answer. Question 1, what was the mean score of the HFA and AS group on the EYES task? The answer is 16.3 out of 25. Question 2, how many photographs were used in the 1997 EYES task? The answer is 25. Question 3. Why was the Tourette syndrome group included? To control for the effects of frontal lobe abnormalities. To show the deficit in the HFA and AS group was specific to theory of mind, not general frontal lobe dysfunction. Question 4. What were the two control tasks? Gender recognition and basic emotion recognition using Ekman's faces. Question 5. What type of research method was this study? A quasi-experiment because the independent variable, diagnosis, was naturally occurring and not manipulated. Question 6. What does TOOM stand for and what does it mean? Theory of mind. The ability to attribute mental states such as beliefs, desires, and intentions to other people. Section 4. Summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. Baron Cohen et al., 1997, is a landmark study in cognitive psychology and autism research. It demonstrated, using a cleverly designed quasi-experimental method, that adults with high-functioning autism or Asperger syndrome retain a theory of mind deficit even when general intelligence is intact. The eyes task, showing 25 black and white photographs of the eye region with two mental state options each, was sensitive enough to detect this subtle deficit. The inclusion of the Tourette syndrome group was methodologically elegant, ruling out frontal lobe dysfunction as an alternative explanation. And the control tasks confirmed that the deficit was specific to social cognition, not basic perception. For your exam, remember the key numbers. 16.3 for the HFA and AS group, 20.3 for the normal adults, 20.4 for the Tourette group. Remember, it's 25 photographs and two options in 1997. Remember why Tourette syndrome was included. And remember to evaluate the ecological validity of static photographs versus real-world dynamic social interaction. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing those past papers, and I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck!